I had suggested that I was going to stand over there and run my own PowerPoint, but I forgot about my pulpit phobia. I can't stand standing behind a big wooden pulpit. So I'm going to stand here, and Shannon, right? No, I'm good. Been a long time. We'll run the PowerPoint, but I gave her the script, and I think she thinks I actually read my scripts, but I don't, so she'll just have to guess when to forward it. First of all, I want to thank BFA profusely, because second to my home church in Guelph, most of my support, and I would say 90% of my prayer support came from you guys when I went to Kenya. All three trips, but certainly this last one when I was there for 10 weeks. And so when I, you know, obviously when Dad fell and hurt himself and I said, I've got to figure out when I can come up, part of that coming up was to see you and to thank you and to give you a brief report of what I did, what I learned in Kenya for the last 10 weeks. I was in Kenya. I went to Rwanda. I had the wrong visa to get into the Congo. So I was on my way to the Congo when the Rwandan border said, see, it's not even on the script, so don't even try reading that part. The Rwandan border guard said, yes, you can go to Congo if you want, but you can't get back into Rwanda. So I decided not to go to Congo. But it was a great learning experience, as you can imagine. I want to share just really quickly, there are three learnings that I took from Rwanda, or from Kenya and Rwanda, I guess. As I reviewed my notes, reviewed my journal, looked at my computer to come up with these three learnings, every one of them I realized was foundational, was fundamental, was stuff that we all know or should know. So when I share these learnings with you, please refrain from that, well, duh, response to me, because they are obvious. Say amen if you want, but the does, leave them to yourself. I was asked at one point why I go back to this one mission in Kenya. I've been there 3 years, three times in 3 years, and I will go back to this guy again. His name is Washira. And my answer to that question, why I go back, is because of the vision that he has for his ministry. And I really believe that his vision is from God. I called him a crazy man at one point because his vision is so big that it's impossible to fulfill. That suggests to me that it's a God vision, but it focuses on the small. He starts with children. We were sitting in Mombasa. Now, yeah, oh good, you're there. Sorry for the darkness of the slides. It works better at night or whatever. I was sitting in an orphanage in Mombasa, and, you know, we were given a presentation of their plans and hopes and dreams, and I was sort of half listening to what was going on in the building, and I was looking out this window at this little girl looking in. Afterwards, I talked to her and asked her if I could bring her back to Canada with me, and she was all excited. And then I realized, you don't use that kind of language. Then I said, can I bring your picture back with me to Canada? And she was still excited. Zantivi is age 11, but I use it as a metaphor because she's outside looking in. And Washira travels around all of East Africa, all of Kenya, looking for the children who are outside so he can bring them in. He operates three schools. He's a pastor of a large church in his town called Nyahururu. You can Google it if you want. But he operates three schools, an elementary school, a high school, and a seminary. And what he does for his elementary schools is he has paying students sufficient so he can bring children from the outside in. So he's traveling all over Kenya and all over East Africa bringing children in. His idea, his vision is long. He will invest in these children for 20 years and then release leaders of Christian character and competence back into their own communities. So these children,
yep,
those children are all from Rwanda. They are pastor's kids who just cannot afford a proper education. So he brings these children to his school in Kenya and he will educate them almost cost-free to their parents, you know, for all of their primary and secondary education and even college if they can go to college, to release them back to Rwanda. Two of those girls, their father's in prison for crimes against humanity for the Rwandan genocide. The girls are there to be trained, and there are some leaders in that group. The You can hardly see him, but the guy dead center, dead back, is named Wilson, and he is a leader. He is going to change Rwanda. The vision of Washira is, I believe, God's vision. Last week at our church, we sang the hymn that had the phrase, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Children who are outside looking in breaks God's heart, and Washira aches for those children and brings them in. My second learning is, and remember, you can't say, oh, duh, is it's about people. It's all about people. I just want to give you an example. When we first arrived in Nyahururu, Washira has a guest home. And in the guest home, when we arrived, our short-term team, there were three missionaries, Kenyan missionaries, being sent from Kenyan churches into remote parts of Kenya. So this young couple, am I right? I'm still right. Kenya, his name is Kefa and Winifred Mashoka. They are missionaries to the Pokot tribe, an ancient tribe in the drought area of Kenya. And their cry, their longing was to be visited. They didn't ask for churches or buildings or cars or anything else. They wanted to be visited. And Washira asked me if I would be willing to go and visit them. And my first reaction was no, I wasn't there as a tourist. And then as soon as I said it, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that no, I was there to build relationships, to encourage people. And so, yeah, I drove up there with another pastor. And the week in advance of my visit, Kefa phoned Washira, my host, almost daily saying, is he still coming? Is he still coming? Is he still coming? And then afterwards, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's about building relationships with people. That's what mission's about. Page one, line one of my missions, short-term missions training book says 98% of missions is showing up. They want to be remembered. They want to be prayed for. They want to be partnered with in those kinds of ways. It's not about building buildings, although buildings are important. It's not about building schools. It's not about going and running medical clinics. It's showing up and being their friend and encouraging them in their work. The third lesson is, again, another one of these obvious things for us Christians, but the local church is the hope of the world. One afternoon, I was asked to meet another Kenyan pastor in Nairobi, and we drove for a while until the roads got too narrow to drive, and we parked our car. And then he walked us through increasingly narrow streets. Can you be increasingly narrow? Increasingly narrow streets and scarier streets and dirtier streets into a slum of Nairobi. And I was scared. I mean, it was the middle of the day and I was okay and I was with, a few Kenyans, but it was still a very unnerving place for me to be. But then I turned the corner of this dirty, grimy, scary slum and I saw this sign, Kiambu Baptist Church. And it was a Saturday morning, and the church was buzzing with activity and life because they have Saturday school. They bring the kids of the community in and teach them hygiene, teach them personal care, teach them sex education, teach them how to live, period. Teach them how to live well. And Pastor Robinson and his wife Philomena live in this community, work in this community, and love this community and care for this community. And again, they welcomed me and again, did not ask me for anything but to remember them and pray for them. But afterwards, we sat with a group of people who I thought were his church people or his elders. And I learned very quickly that no, this is an economic cooperative. And they sat in a circle and they told me what they do to help build them up economically. Each person has to give 50 shillings a week into the properly registered bank, official bank account. 50 shillings a week is about 75 cents a week. And every week they put it in there. They have this pool, this pot. And then as small business wants to buy something to make their business grow, they can borrow against that communal. And the young man who's leading it up, not 30 as far as I could tell, a young man, probably 25 or 28, said, first of all, we had to learn the value of a shilling. Then we had to learn the value of saving. And now we are working for ourselves. And he said, poverty is not about money. It's about a frame of mind. And we're learning not to, we are still poor, but we're learning not to be in poverty. And that's what this local church is doing in the middle of Kiambu, Kenya, is raising people up. Not everybody in that economic cooperative was Christian, but they were investing in them anyway, raising these people up and bringing hope, life, and a future to Kiambu slum in Nairobi. To tie these three points together, I learned when I arrived there that there was an association between AGC Canada, Associated Gospel Churches of Canada, has signed an official agreement with AGC churches in Kenya to be training partners. So Canada is going to figure out a way to train AGC Kenyan pastors. We visited the group in Mombasa to find a training center, to find a teacher, to see how many pastors might be interested in seminary-level education. And we learned that of 180 AGC Kenyan pastors, probably 20% have any kind of formal training. In Africa, so often when a church gathers together, the oldest man becomes the pastor. In some cases, he can't read, but he is still the pastor. In most cases, he is not trained, yet he is still a pastor. And we sat in a building where there were 60 people applauding when we announced that we are looking for a training center in Mombasa. They are hungry to be trained, hungry to grow. Where are we? Yes, we are. Pastor Juma is the leader of AGC Kenya. His leg is permanently bent at a 90-degree angle from polio. He walks with a 6-foot stick, almost like a pole vault for every step. He is really quite an amazing man, a very humble man, a very capable man. And he is just crying, literally begging for Canadians to partner with him so he can train the church in Africa. So the church in Africa, church in Kenya, can change itself, can change the world through Kenyan efforts and through Canadian partnerships. So that's, I think, my full 10 minutes is what I've been offered, and that's what I've taken. Thank you for that, and thank you for allowing me to go, and God willing, I do plan to go again. Thank you.